CliffCentral.com.
Interesting stuff to talk about today. Here she is, Anthea Gardner, with her theme music. You know, every single week I get a brand new version of this from somebody. It's the most popular song in the world, if you ask me.
She was awesome money, so
all right, Anthea is here this morning with a guest I've been waiting to speak to for a very long time. His name is Charles Pettit. He is the CEO of Stellar Capital. And you've run you had a distinction at one point, which I remember Anthea telling me about, of being the CEO of two listed companies at the same time. Great, how are you, Charles?
Good, thanks, Gareth.
Good, nice to see you. I've been wanting to talk to you for the longest time because I bought a bunch of Stellar shares on Anthea's good advice a long time ago. They've done nothing but give me misery. Nothing, okay. Charles.
So Charles, we bought some before the rights issue, and then we took up some more in the rights issue at R2.30, and they're now trading at what, R1.15, R1.20, somewhere around there. I mean, I think at the time when I advised, really I bought into, one, like the management company, two, the industrial sector that you were playing in, and then obviously asset management. I completely understand the metrics there, and the share price just kind of hasn't fulfilled my hopes, I guess, is
yeah.
the question.
I mean, hang on a second. Is this some sort of financial roast you brought this guy
in for? No.
Two of you.
First of all, I wanted to know, I'm kind of interested in what the big picture is for Stellar, because, I mean, it seems to me there are a lot of very smart people involved in this business. There's a lot of really good businesses that you own in large part. Mm-hmm. And I think that it should just be doing a whole lot better than it is. Is it the market? Is it that you guys haven't yet done the things that you wanted to do? I'm just curious because it's sort of sitting there almost ready to fly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look, I mean, I was chatting to Anthea beforehand. I think, admittedly, I think for the last year and a half, we've had a very tough time with our share price. But strangely enough, I mean, you're looking at a business now that's, the business is much better than it was a year ago, or a year and a half ago. But a year and a half ago, the share price was R2.30, and today it's R1.20 or R1.15. So you can buy a business that's much better for effectively half the price. So I think like you say, it's a screaming buy.
Sure.
There's been a number of things that have played into the share price underperforming. I think the major one was the timing of our investment into Tor. So we made that investment effectively at just prior to the mining sector collapsing and industrials coming under a lot of pressure. So, you know, from our perspective, we timed
that. Tor's heavy industrial equipment and stuff, right?
Yeah, so Tor's essentially a distribution business, but focused on the mining sector and the construction sector.
Okay.
But mining is 60% of the revenue, so very, very exposed to mining.
All right. Well, I mean, then aside from the question of timing, because I totally understand that, when are we going to see the next move in terms of either an acquisition or any of those things? Because people are kind of curious about what the long-term plan might be.
Yeah, well, it's a funny thing because we're criticized when we do acquisitions for being too active, and then we're criticized when we don't do acquisitions for not being active enough. But I think what's important is that last year we spent R1 billion on two new deals. So we acquired a business called Amacor, and we also acquired half of a business called Prescient. So those are the two businesses that are really the core of our industrial and financial services strategies going forward. So I think that, you know, really what we're asking now is that people sit back and see the quality of the businesses we bought, and actually see the impacts of those businesses. There will be more activity from our side, but unlikely to be a large acquisition. That's not really what's going to happen.
And are you looking to get earnings accretion from Tor or from Prescient? Which is kind of your preferred play at the moment? Is that an unfair question? It's like asking a parent which of its children it prefers.
Is the favorite, yeah.
Well, we obviously love them both, you know?
Yeah.
But
sure.
No, it's a different, very different types of businesses. You're going to get something different from both of them. So from Prescient, what you're looking at is a very cash flow generative business with good, consistent growth prospects. You're talking a 15 to 20% a year growth business. With Tor, you're looking at a business that's more cyclical, so it kind of plays to the economy, but where there's a lot of upside. So as the economy turns, you know, you could see the business doubling and tripling in value, which is unlikely to happen with Prescient. But Tor is, you know, it could also be flat for a year.
Charles,
year
how has the commodity price rally in the last year not helped Tor or the mining sector? How is that possible?
So it has helped, but what you see, there's a lag between commodity prices and activity. You know? So Commodity prices started improving. Miners started making more money. But effectively, they first used that money to repair their balance sheets, to pay down debt and strengthen their balance sheets. What you're starting to see now is they're starting to feel confident again. So the CapEx is coming through. Mm. You know, a lot of our customers had CapEx freezes for a long period of time. Those have been lifted and we're starting to see activity. So Tor is actually trading very well for the last 3 to 4 months. So we are starting to see the turnaround in Tor already.
Mm. I'm curious about kind of your background, and it's always nice when we have people who run businesses in here, because we find out a little bit about where they come from and where you started. Mm. You want to give us a quick snapshot of that?
Sure. Can I interject? Do you know that Ben and Charles were at school together?
You what?
Yeah.
So, what?
Things turn out differently from there.
You don't look old enough to have gone to school with Ben. You weren't at the same... What are you, the same age?
Yeah, we were at school together.
So. Yeah, we're the same year. So, Jesus. Yeah, a few months apart.
Ben, you've aged badly.
I know. Well, I keep saying this. It's these early mornings.
Oh, okay, I wondered why you were standing up for him. Okay, yeah. So what is the... How did you get into business and what did you start with?
So I started at school with Ben, but from a business perspective, I started... I essentially started my own business when I was 28. So I'd come back from London where I was working in corporate finance. Mm-hmm. I started my own corporate finance business at the age of 28, built that over a few years, sold it in 2012, used some of the money to buy a stake in a business called SA French, which was a bankrupt listed crane hire company at the time.
Just hold on a second. You started your business in 2008. That was the worst possible time to start anything, right?
Yeah. It was
brave of you.
Well, I had no choice. I couldn't find a job, so I started my own business. Then I bought a stake in SA French, and we built that over 2.5 years into Tor. So we did something like 25 acquisitions over 2.5 years. And then 2015, reversed my stake in Tor into Stellar and started building a bigger, more diversified business. So it was never my intention to be industrial long term, but I had a very interesting 4 year stint in there. But now focus on a more diversified type business.
When you talk about diversified businesses, I'm always curious as to how diverse you want it to be, because there's a kind of a sweet spot where you've got enough of different sectors that you are able to see a growth taking place across the whole lot, but there are always going to be some that outperform others, and there's some areas you just should not go if you are in others, if you know what I mean.
They're
almost diametrically opposed in terms of the kind of the value they provide.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, I think, you know, for us, we said, look, we're focused financial services and industrial.
Right.
We like the fact that they give us something different. So industrial is more cyclical, but it gives you, very big upside when it's going right and when the economy is expanding. Financial services, typically higher margin, more cash generative, more consistent. So you get something different from the two. So you get good cash flows, good consistency, and then big upside. So we like the mix. And those are the two sectors that I understand and my team understands. So we're not going to go beyond those sectors. We're not going to go into mining or property or anything like that. But there's enough diversity there to also give us a bit of downside protection.
Well, that's kind of why we like Stellar. I mean, that's why Anthea is a cheerleader, really. I mean, and she doesn't stand up for a lot of shares. She tells us to get rid of stuff ASAP when she doesn't believe in it. But I do think, this is why I'm curious about the business, because to me it seems like a business that really has massive potential. And I do think that you've got a great team in place there as well, from what Anthea tells me.
Yeah, we've got a very good team. I mean, the guys that are working with me have been with me through, every single one of those businesses I mentioned a moment ago. We've got excellent shareholders. I mean, Christo Visa is an anchor shareholder of ours. He's been very supportive through this time. It's been a tough time, but he's been provided a lot of counsel and support through this period. So very good shareholders.
He's had the easiest time himself with some of his companies.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah. But he's seen it all before, so I don't think he's particularly worried. So I think, I think really for us is the focus is long-term. It has to be, because I was mentioning to Anthea just now that I think the only consolation I can offer you is that I also invested at 2M30, but this is my only investment, so I don't have...
No.
At least you have Advitech.
So I think we've got very good shareholders, long-term shareholders. So the focus is on the businesses rather than the share price. And I think if we continue to build the businesses, grow them effectively, and then over time start to do things, I think, that will demonstrate our confidence in the business, like pay dividends, buy our shares back, potentially sell some assets at premiums to what we're valuing them at. I think the market will start to see what we're doing, and they'll start to have more confidence in the share as well.
No, it sounds like it's a very good plan. Do you ever think about maybe buying people you went to school with as slaves, particularly when they're not doing as well as you are. I mean, do you ever think about how much it would cost to actually make Ben work for you?
I totally forgot what a dick you actually are. We had 2 weeks without you, and it was so nice.
You know what, Charles, you've built this amazing company. You know what Ben's got? He's got a cat. Shows you, just by the way, for anybody who's thinking, well, you know, if you go to X school or Y school, you're guaranteed success. Well, it's not true.
Yeah.
No, Ben is one of the great success stories of Weinberg Boys, I tell you.
Well, in some ways he is. I can understand that. I don't think he's a moron. I wouldn't want him working for me if he was. It's quite a cool story, though, for a South African who's been in, you know, global finance in London, and also during that time, that must have been a hell of a ride. Because were you there for the 2008 crash?
Yeah, I left.
Is that why you came back?
Yeah, basically. I mean, when I was finishing off in London was when those Lehman Brothers hedge funds went into liquidation.
Did you see those people leaving the buildings with their boxes of stuff?
On the TV.
That was me.
Anthony did.
It was the beginning of the financial crisis. So we sat and we watched the news and we watched the banks folding, and we saw in the market that, you know, the private equity market that we were working in froze up overnight. So the debt markets froze up. So it was a very, very fascinating time to kind of be in the markets. Yeah.
Oh, certainly, yes. The lessons you learn, it's incredible. The sleepless nights you have.
Well, I appreciate you coming to talk to us. It's nice. I know you had to wake up extra early this morning, but you're probably the kind of person who gets a lot done in a day. So
I'm always up at this time.
There we go. You see, there's a good reason for us to keep waking up early in the morning. We might end up running very big companies one day, maybe even two of them at the same time.
Who knows? Thanks, Charles.
Proof that it can be done. Thanks, Charles. Very good to meet you. Thanks for coming in. So if you want to know more, you can obviously stay tuned to the Money Shot. And do you want to give us any updates quickly? I mean, you haven't even told us the thing about what's going on.
Oh, I don't really want to. The market
yesterday
was down 1.5%, exactly. Yeah, but at least our CPI came in a little bit lower than expected, or pretty much in consensus, 6.3%.
And what is going on with this rand? 12.56 to the dollar.
Well, our current account deficit was much better than expected as well. So it really does look like we are almost turning the corner from an economic point of view. I mean, I think people are struggling to explain the current account deficit. It looks like we've done a lot more exports, stronger rand. Everything just has worked somehow in the last month or two. So, yeah. So I think barring kind of any huge political blunder, this rand looks like it's going to stay strong for a while still. So seriously, I really am looking at repositioning my portfolio at the moment. But you know, 70% of South Africans' top 40 shares are actually rand hedge, and if I do that, then I'm probably going to be long more banks, I'm hardly long retail, so I might buy some more retail shares. We'll see.
Just by the way, I thought of those people who might have bought a whole lot of offshore assets and kind of foreign currency just after Nenegate, and I wonder how they must be feeling now. That couldn't have been a good buy.
But isn't that always what happens? The rand blows out and then people rush offshore.
Yeah.
And now, when the rand is strong, everyone's probably sitting on their hands.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Anthea. Thank you very much, Charles. There's a little update with you, plus some inside info on what's on the cards for Stellar Capital and for Tor. CliffCentral.com.